Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening to episode 116 of Sneaky Dragon. We'll be back next week.
117.
What? Sorry.
It's 117.
I can't hear what you're saying. I wish I could because I'm too busy wrapping up the show. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. This is definitely show 117.
Prove it.
Well, I can prove it because if you look on the Sneaky Dragon website, you'll see that last week's show was 116, and this week's show will then be 117. I admit, last week I introduced the show as 117.
Mr. Big Talk.
And
did jokes about the number 117.
I did. I had
did a long math thing about 117.
I know, it was so witty.
Had t-shirts printed up called 117.
Yep.
And there you go.
Yep. I did a movie called I Am 117. Yep. And what happened? It was 116. I stole your turn, and then I introduced the show this time. Did I mention my name is David Dedrick? Did you mention that your name is Ian Boothby? I don't think so. I think we kind of blew this whole show.
Mm-hmm.
We blew the opening to 117.
Well, let me tell you why, Dave. I'll tell you why we blew this one.
Okay.
Because we're coasting at this point.
We're coasting?
Yeah. Because remember, if you remember, last week we talked about the Olympics. And in Olympics, you schooled me on something. Doesn't often happen, but I'll tell you what you told me.
Okay.
You told me it is great to win a gold in hockey.
Yes.
It is fantastic to win a bronze. It is terrible to win a silver.
Yes.
And this week, we won a bronze in a reader poll in the West Ender.
Okay.
Which was, we came in third of like popular local podcasts. There's only two podcasts in town, but we came in third.
We came in third. We crept in.
Yeah.
What you're not mentioning, actually, is we came in third in a tie.
That's true.
We came in tie with something that isn't even a podcast, which is the saddest part of it.
Yeah, a lemonade stand.
A lemonade stand.
We came in third, it's best podcast with a lemonade stand across the road from us, run by two adorable little girls.
Oh, yeah.
Who got a lot of write-in votes.
They did. They're that adorable.
Here's what happened. They had like a Best of Vancouver thing, which was really, really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were very surprised to find that we were tied for third place with this 1040. What was it?
Yes, the Team 1040. It's a local sports talk radio station.
Very good.
All Canucks talk all the time.
Okay. And the number two place was Friends of the Show. I've been on their show. I'm going to be on their show later this month. That's Caustic. Well, I don't know. I you won't hear me necessarily. I'm going to be taping it later this month. I don't know when they're going to air it. But Caustic Soda.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are.
I've been boycotting their show.
Well, why is that?
Because I'm on my sugar fast. No soda.
Oh, well, Caustic Soda is like an acid. So there's no sugar in it.
Oh, now you tell me.
Yes. I do tell
the
you.
The boycott is over.
Very good.
Yeah.
And number one is Stop Podcasting Yourself, which is Graham Clark and Dave Shumpka. So Dave Shumpka has.
You've been on that show.
That's true. Dave Shumpka has beaten me twice this week now.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Once in this and once at rap battles, we went up against each other.
Yeah.
I was J. Jonah Jameson.
Okay.
He was a beatnik spider, which was a spider man.
Yeah.
And he beat me in that. It was very fun.
Did
really
he beat
good
you
time.
Fair and square?
Oh, he beat me. He beat me seven ways to Sunday. Yeah. He, yes.
Okay.
See also Rented Mule. See also Redheaded Stepchild. See also Michael Jackson joke. Okay. Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Anyway you want to call it. Yeah, he did. But he did a fantastic job. It was a very fun show. But Dave Shumpka beat me in that, then beat me in this, obviously, because their show is incredibly popular.
Yeah.
Also, proud to be just, you know, one of those, it's an honor just to be nominated, and people say that, and it's a lie.
Sure.
Actually, it's an honor just to be in this group. This is a great group of people.
Fantastic.
You know, great, like literally they're all great people too. I like all of them personally. So except for the 1040 folks, I don't know about those assholes.
Yeah.
I don't know about those guys at all.
Do you know what kind of bugged me about that?
Tell me.
Well, it's a tie for third place. Sneaky Dragon came underneath underneath Team 1040. It doesn't, like it should be alphabetical. If it's a tie, we should be over top of them. But I guess this shows they're more popular than us, really.
No, that's not how ties work. Ties work, they're even.
Yeah, so we should be, alphabetically, we should have been, like, this to be fair, we should be.
Were they 1040? Okay, well, here's what you don't know. You don't know.
It was Team 1040.
Okay, but you don't know. You don't know if people, when they were, because it was a write-in.
Yeah.
Am I right? Write-in. So you don't know if people wrote 1040 radio. They could have done that. And if so, it's numbers, and numbers come before letters.
Sure.
So technically, they could have done that, put it in there. Then someone went, let me correct this, says spell-checking guy.
Yeah.
Flips it around. All of a sudden, now we're on the bottom. We got low bunk.
Yeah.
And there we go. All of a sudden, who are we? We're Mexico. No, we're not. We're South America. There's four of us. So we're South America. It's not wrong to be South America.
There's more than four countries in South America.
We're going to get the Olympics.
Are you saying there's four
I'm saying here it goes. It goes Canada.
Yeah.
Then it goes United States. Okay. Then it goes Mexico. Okay. What comes underneath that? Central America.
Guatemala and Nicaragua.
What do you want to be? You want to be Nicaragua or do you want to be South America? What do you want to be?
Costa Rica part of that?
Like, I think I picked the right choice.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Okay. You Panama.
Okay. Johnny Geography. Go to town. Look, we finished recording Completely Beatles, the latest episode of Completely mm-hmm. Beatles, just a little while ago. And Dave is a font of trivia on that. Yeah. He's got like a stack of paper.
I'm as a Helvetica of trivia.
As thick as your fist.
Okay.
And so he's still on his trivia binge. So he might just be throwing facts out. He can't stop cold.
Yeah, I can't.
No, you can't stop cold. Nope. Like, so that would be dangerous. You might cramp up.
Sure.
And we don't want that. Because Dave, I know we're coasting. Yep. We can't coast that much. It's like in the Olympics, like when you've done your luge and you've, say, finished, they've got to like then go into the parking lot and have like a cool down luge.
Yeah.
You can't just stop luging.
That's right.
You got to keep going for a while. Otherwise, again, you're going to cramp up. You're going to get the bends.
Sure. It's called deluging.
That's right. It's called deluging. And that's what we are, because we're a couple of losers. That's, again, the stuff that got us third place. that kind of gold.
We're number three. Why bother trying
it? Yeah, exactly. Why try it all? Who cares?
Yeah.
But we're bronze, and I'm very happy to be bronze.
Yeah, I am too.
But on another note, on the note of sports, which we were talking last week, mm-hmm. Last time we talked, Canada had only won one gold in hockey, which was the women's.
That's true. That's right.
And then we got one for the men's.
The men's hockey.
So we've
won
covered
the gold as well.
Most of the sexes at this point.
That's right.
Yes.
Most of them.
Most of them are done. And you know, most of Canada got up early because we had to get up quite early to watch the hockey game.
I was up at 4 a.m.
Yeah. Normally you get up when on Sunday morning?
8:30.
Oh, that's considerably early for you. All right, so you got up early at 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it the family gathered around?
No, I was by myself.
With the dogs?
The dogs, I went downstairs so I would be away from everyone. My plan was to do it quietly. What I forgot, and if I was a thoughtful person, I should have just fed the dogs. But I actually thought that would make it worse if I fed them. Like, I thought if I fed them, then they'll want out. And I didn't want to do all that. The game was starting at 4. I purposefully woke up exactly when the game was supposed to start. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to watch any of the pregame chat.
Right.
I just wanted to sleep.
You didn't want to watch a Peter Puck cartoon.
Well, I went to bed around 12:30. Mm-hmm. So I was getting up at 4. So, you know, I didn't want to. So then I didn't feed the dogs. So then they went in and woke up Lisa, demanding food. Mm-hmm. So she had to get up to feed them. And
no,
of course,
she didn't have this thing called a shut door.
She did.
Because as far as I know, dogs cannot open a doorknob.
Our door does not shut properly. We've learned this with Elle. Is that it closes, but it doesn't latch. The latch doesn't pop through.
All right.
So if Elle bumps his big fat head against the door, he can just open it up, which he does.
All right. Let me advise you of something.
Yeah.
Now, you're a handyman.
I am a handyman.
We have had Deck Talk on the show. It was everyone's favorite part
of the show. That's true.
The ratings have gotten terrible since Deck Talk went away. I would say put a lock on the door, like a sliding lock or some sort of lock on the door.
No, I'm not going to put a lock on the door.
Okay, well then enjoy
your... Because that doesn't make any sense.
Enjoy your doggy wake-up calls.
Do you mean put a lock on the outside of the door? What if Lisa wants to come out?
Yeah, I meant put a lock on the outside
of the
door.
Well, how am I going to lock the lock on the inside of the door and be on the outside?
Oh, because here's why. Let me explain the situation.
Should I wake her up and ask her to lock the door and then go back to bed? See, the thing with Lisa...
Can't
do that.
Yes, because...
Can't do that.
What's going to wake you up is the dogs otherwise. You either get woke up with this, hey, you want to walk like a couple of feet over to the door, lock it, and then get a lovely sleep? Or would you rather have a pit bull in your face, you know, demanding food?
Lisa cannot wake up and go back to sleep again. When she is awake, that's it.
Okay. Let me tell you about something called chloroform. It might change your life.
So I got a...
You know what? In fact...
I got an earful in the morning. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like I watched the men's hockey game and got an earful.
Okay.
So it was good. It was a good all-round sort of a morning.
It's an interesting kind of situation for me, like, because I don't really watch hockey, but I enjoy watching hockey at the Olympics. That's fun to watch. You know, less so when, you know, it's our local team, the Canucks.
And less so when it's on at 4 a.m.
Well, I'm up anyway.
Oh, that's true.
I usually go to sleep like around 6.
Okay.
So to me, it was just like I got to stay up a little bit later. Everyone was coming, aren't you tired? Yeah. Because you can't explain why you're up at that hour. Yeah. Anyway, and how it feels to me is like I like the Olympics and hockey on there in the same way that, say, jocks, I don't want to like, you know, stereotype, but like jocks like the Avengers movie. Right? Like they will go see like a Marvel superheroes movie, like which is every 2 years and care about Captain America every 2 years and then nothing for the rest of the time.
That's right.
Whereas I'm, you know, again, where were you during the lean years, fella? And
they don't know who Star Fox was.
They don't know who Star Fox
is. See, that's the kind of deep cuts I can bring out as a comic book nerd.
Oh, boy. Inside jokes are great. So that's how I feel it. I feel like the Olympics to nerds are like the Avengers movies and whatever to jocks. You know, yeah. We enjoy each other's culture every few years and then forget it. Then you can take care of it for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. And I can see why you get excited about the Olympics, because it's not just the game, it's all the stuff around it. So it makes it gives more meaning to what you're watching.
And
you're not
it's just watching less, a hockey game. It's less fighty. You know
that's
what?
True too.
You know, I like that. It's like, it's just the game, you know?
I enjoy the fighting as well, but.
There you go. You might enjoy the fighting. I don't like watching people beat each other up. Except I can watch a boxing match sometime. I don't mind if it's like straight out fighting.
Yeah.
But when it gets to like mixed martial arts, I'm like, I don't know, there's a bit of blood on there. I don't think we need to be doing that. I think everyone else can have better life choices than this. This seems like the kind of thing that you see in a movie, right? And then all the people that are watching this in a movie, are the people watching it the good guys in the movie? No. No. They're not. Something's going to happen and then a horrible thing will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Just dress them up like chickens and make it an actual human cockfight. Just go to town.
So I just want to back up.
By the way, if you like mixed martial arts, a lot of my friends do, that's fine. Enjoy yourself.
I just want to back up the truck a little before you insulted all our listeners with your mixed martial arts hating.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like mixing. I don't like things touching on my plate.
Yeah.
And I don't like martial arts mixing.
Or musical mixing.
You know what I would like?
DJs mixing music.
Random martial arts. Here's what I'd like. I'd like the two people there,
yeah.
And they spin a wheel before it goes, and it's like, you're karate.
Yeah.
And this guy, slap fight. And like, that's the only things they can
fight?
Do. Slap fight.
One guy just has to
like a sissy slap fight, and the other guy has karate.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do. But you don't know what you're going to fight and what style until it comes up. And that's randomized, and then you go to town. One guy, it has to be puppet punches, and he's got to put a puppet on his hand. He's got to fight with that, and the other guy can fight with a gun. You know,
so
please continue.
I just wanted to know more about the rap battle thing. So,
all right.
So for the show,
started in Toronto. Vancouver has asked if we could do it, and we do it. But it was very popular in Toronto. It's incredibly popular here.
So you have a show. So I guess there's like maybe three different acts doing the rap battle, or is there more than that?
Per half, yeah. There's two halves. First half has four battles. Second half has three battles.
That seems like a lot of people to get. To get involved in
well,
this.
The raps should, okay, each, okay, here's how it would break down.
Okay.
So you and I are having a rap battle.
Okay.
You do a minute, I do a minute.
Okay.
You do a minute, I do a minute, and then the audience votes. And if we tie, we have to freestyle. That's how it goes.
Ooh.
And that's how, that moves ahead at a pretty tight pace.
Yeah.
But you rap in character.
Yeah, yeah.
So as I said, I was J. Jonah Jameson in this game. And we actually sort of matched up there. It made sense that a Spider-Man would go against J. Jonah Jameson. But you could have someone like
Paul Bunyan.
You could have Paul Bunyan. Mm-hmm. That is a good example.
Okay.
And it could be Paul Bunyan and then The Tide.
Okay.
So a person's rapping as The Tide.
Okay.
And you got to find out what beefs Paul Bunyan would have with The Tide and what beef The Tide would have with Paul Bunyan. Or you could be rapping as a book. Like you could be a Jane Austen book.
Yeah.
And you could be rapping against an electric fan.
Okay.
And then you'd go to town.
So is it supposed to be like classic kind of rap, like kind of dissing?
Put downs,
or
yeah, but mostly
playing,
put downs.
Playing the dozens
and
in your song.
Boasting.
Okay, boasting.
And put downs.
Okay.
And then if you can be sexist, that's fantastic as well.
Right?
That's all right. You know, and then the audience, they encourage booing. They encourage cheering. And then there's the two hosts who are goading you on through the whole thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it would be best to do it as like a municipal worker, because then it's all ditches and backhoes.
Ha, very good.
So that's.
I think you've got your character.
I'm ready for it.
But I'll tell you, it's one of the hardest shows I've ever done. Like, it's really, really hard because you are memorizing just hardcore. Like, to do a minute is tough. To do another minute after that, it's super, super tough.
Oh, yeah. So you can't just read it off a piece of paper. You have to have it in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to seem like you're doing it.
You can bring out a piece of paper as your cheat sheet if you need to, but you're going to get booed.
Oh, really?
But you're allowed, but you're going to get booed.
Okay.
Some people do things like, you know, you're going as Captain America, so you've got the shield with things written on the back.
Oh, okay.
A little of that. But people normally know and boo. One of the best ones of the night was a couple having sex. And so it was a guy with a stuffed woman in front of him, and he was shirtless and pantsless, but there was a woman in front of him having sex under the moon, and then the rapping against the moon. So it was the moon complaining about having to see this, and the guy was just complaining about the moon getting in the way of the sky. And so it was them going at it.
That sounds hard to do. I don't think I
could. Yes, it's very hard. What I just said.
Yeah.
It's the hardest show, I think, to do in town.
Wow.
I used to think the hardest show to do in town was Gentlemen Hecklers, because you had to write a whole bunch of heckles to a movie.
Yeah.
But boy, this was Because that, at least you have it written in front of you. Mm. This one is just you're memorizing for forever and forever and forever. And I talked to people about it, and they said, like, the thing is, you don't get them out of your head afterwards. Like, they don't just dump, because you have now put this song in your head. So you've got a rap about Ritz crackers that you're going to be like, will pop into your head 3 years from now, and just like, you think you're so great, Triscuit. Well, let me tell you, you're a Limp Bizkit. And it's like, why do I have that in my, why? Yeah.
Wow.
But very, very fun show. Get there early if you're going to try and see it, whether here or in Toronto.
Wow. Okay. Yep. That's interesting.
It is. It is indeed interesting.
Thanks.
Now, how's your week been?
I think I mentioned to you earlier that I got nothing. Like, I feel like I haven't had much of a week
at all. We've been busy putting together stuff for the Completely Beatles podcast.
I was very busy.
Okay.
If you saw me any time recently, it was just me sitting near the couch, or sitting on the floor with a computer in front of me with about 3 or 4 Beatles books open around me, looking up information.
You sound so happy doing that. That feels like you're just the happiest boy.
I do enjoy it.
Kid in a candy store.
It is interesting.
Yeah, nice.
I think.
It's like I'm doing a candy review show with like an 8-year-old boy, and he's like, this is great. I'll taste all the candy. It's good.
Yeah,
I've had a crazy busy week with a very, very
little
sleep.
You did rap battles.
I did. Yeah, I did. Oh, I can't even think of the amount of, like, remember last week when I told you all the shows I was doing? Yeah, those.
Because you did Minus World.
I actually wasn't able to do Minus World because I ended up having to do all these extra things for writing. I got all these writing deadlines thrown on me as well.
Okay.
And then I said to my sister-in-law last week, said, let's film something on Wednesday. I'm like, all right, well, let's film something on Wednesday because we like filming sketches. So I had a Hamlet one we were like, okay, we'll do that. So Tuesday we were out scouting locations. That's right. Tuesday we're out scouting locations and we're at Stanley Park, Lighthouse Park.
You should do one called The Hamlet.
Yeah.
And like, the thing is the camera pulls back and reveals that The Hamlet is actually taking place in the modern world.
Okay,
okay. Go on.
Okay.
Go on with you.
Keep going. No, I want to hear how the rest of this goes. Anything else?
No, that's all.
All right, that's good. I'm not slamming you. I'm very curious. All right, so yeah, we're doing two things. One, we're doing a sketch about Hamlet. We're doing a quick commercial for a product that's Shakespearean toilet paper, and it's called Butt Soft.
Okay.
All right. So we're looking for locations. We've got one location we're kind of looking at, but then we also thought, well, underneath the lighthouse.
That's not from Hamlet, though, is it? Isn't it from Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, because we're doing a Hamlet sketch, and then also we're doing a commercial for Shakespearean toilet paper called Butt Soft.
Okay.
Which, no, you're right. That is from Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
So we're on the...
Wet laid on yonder window breaks.
Okay. Keep going if you want.
That's all I know.
Is the east. Juliet.
Is the west.
Yes, that's right. It is the east and she is the west.
Juliet is the best.
But she's also the very best. Look, if you want to do rap battles, just do it. Don't just break out into freestyle raps on this show. Don't waste it here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. But maybe if you did, maybe we'd go up to second place in the West Ender thing.
It's true, we might.
Okay.
It's well known how much the West Ender audience likes rap battles.
Right. When you see where I'm going with this story and how somber it turns really quickly, it'll be very strange. Okay. So I'm at Lighthouse Park and we're checking out, you know,
which for people who don't live in the Lower Mainland area is a park near Lighthouse.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It's not a slang term for, you know, for people who go lighthousing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We know what that is. Yeah.
By the way, if that section of the park is near the Pitch and Putt, if you are interested to come to Stanley Park for that section, by the Pitch and Putt. Watch out
That's a totally different thing. Not Pitch and Putt. Pitch and Putt, you know what we mean. Like, but it's just regular Pitch and Putt.
That's right. It's both Pitch and Putt and then also Pitch and Putt.
Yeah.
And
for people who are lighthousing.
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of skunks around there too. Be very careful. Anyway. So we go and we check out the lighthouse area because it looks kind of old timey and medieval if you go downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're scouting, we're taking some pictures, me and my sister-in-law, Vicky, who's directing this thing. And then we go up.
Former friend of the show.
Former friend of the show. I don't know why you always say that. We go up the stairs and I'm facing Vicky and she is, facing the seawall. She's looking out at the seawall.
Okay.
And a car comes, barreling through the parking lot. Out of control. I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at Vicky and I'm watching her horrified expression. And a car goes through the parking lot, up the embankment, over the seawall. There's two seawalls actually because there's like, you know, side by side.
So people who don't live here. Just so they know, this is a wall near the sea.
That's absolutely correct. Okay. Again, when you know where this is going, this probably isn't as funny as it goes. Anyway, so I'm looking at her horrified expression,
yeah.
And I turn around to see a woman flying off the roof of a car, and the car has smashed into, it's like a gate, not gate, but it's like a fence that's stopping basically the car from going into the water.
Oh my God.
Like it's just, it's brutal, and the front is smashed, the airbags have gone up, so it looks like it's smoking inside. I think the car's on fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, this woman just goes flying.
Wow.
Okay. So basically we think we've seen someone die.
Yeah.
So I'm turning and I make like as fast as I can to the car. We've had a situation before, and I've got a weird flashback about this because we had someone who was in a car that was on fire out front here before, and they were drunk and passed out, and they had smashed into something, and the car was on fire, and it was filling with smoke. And I've seen cars catch on fire and burst into flames, not with people in them, but I've seen how fast it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're opening the door at that situation, and I helped to pull a person out, and then I had someone scream at me that I could have broken their neck because you didn't know. But it's like they were going to burn. And so I've always had this like, oh, shit, you got to, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, you can't win for losing, but what are you going to do? So anyway, mm-hmm. So I'm going and I'm thinking the car is on fire. I'm also thinking this person clearly did not make it. And so I'm bracing myself for that. And you do that thing where you go numb. Like you just go, whatever I'm going to see, I'm not going to feel. I'm just going to deal with whatever's happening.
Yeah.
So I whip around. I get to the other side of the car. The driver has now come out and is screaming. She's a young woman, like about 20. Her mom is stunned. There's a dog in the back that's barking. On the other side, this woman, a blonde woman, don't know why I have to say it's blonde. She's blonde, but she's on the ground her legs are a little bit not how they should be.
Mm.
And her friend is screaming and there's a little girl with them. And it's like, okay. So I'm bending down trying to find out how they are. And then she comes to, and it's like, okay, she's alive and she's able to feel pain in places that it's okay that she feels pain. So she's not paralyzed, but she can't move and it's shitty. So me and Vicky end up being the comfort, you know, we're the sane people in this group.
Yeah.
So Vicky was so amazing in this situation. She ran, she got gave the woman her coat, got her warm, got her comfortable without moving her and everything. The little girl was starting to freak out a little bit because the person that she was with was freaking out. So I had to do all this kind of comfort talk, but I couldn't directly talk to her because I'm a man, so it's not allowed. So I had to do all this. There's an ambulance, like everything I'm saying is comforting in earshot, but she can't hear me doing it directly. It was a weird kind of thing. Meanwhile, I'm also on the phone with 911. And then I got to talk to the driver who's freaking out and her mom's kind of like wandering stunned. And it was just a big, incredible blur of a, it just drained me completely. Like I'm having the worst day of, you know, like I can complain. Anyway, she ended up like getting taken and she seemed to be okay except for something broken.
Yeah.
But like afterwards, I crashed so hard emotionally. Like it was just like, I thought I saw someone die. I was prepared for that. And then it was like, okay, now I got to be here for these people. And again, Vicky was amazing with the driver and talking to her. I was trying to talk to her, but again, being a man, you can't talk too much. Like it's weird to go up in comfort as a man to someone who's 20, no matter what. And so I had to like be at a distance, but she was able to actually do it. And it was just, so anyway, through the rest of the day, I'm having shell shocks from that. This is just emotional shell shocks. And then we went to scout locations for our comedy thing still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got to work.
You got to work. And then later on that night, I had to do, shows and stuff and what have you. But yeah, it was exhausting. Like it was, and again, this sounds very weird to say it in this way. Again, I don't want to complain, but it's like emotionally exhausting to the point where I just kept wanting to fall asleep when it was over, but I still had to do all this stuff. And I don't think I've been able to, over the last couple of days, totally shake that feeling of like, ugh, just complete exhaustion.
Wow.
Anyway, that's my story of the park.
Did you find out what happened with the car? Did they, like, was it the young girl was driving?
It was an accident. Yeah, it looks like what happened was she pressed the gas instead of the brake.
and couldn't react fast enough. Yeah.
And it was actually very lucky where it's that weird kind of luck where people go, well, you were lucky. It's like not winning the lottery lucky, but lucky it wasn't so much worse. Like seriously, less than a second difference and she would have like crushed this woman. Like it was so lucky that she rolled.
Yeah.
Like that could have gone infinitely worse. She also could have hit the little girl and the other woman, all three of them, so easily.
Yeah.
The where she hit on the gate was perfect for stopping the car, whereas if she hit a little bit over, it's possible she could have driven through it and right into the water.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was just a bit of a stunning day there.
Hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my that day.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell you about that. Hey, how you doing?
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not the exciting you want, but it's the exciting.
No, that's true enough.
Yeah.
The accidents are terrible.
I'm very bad at filing the report afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a professional writer, but I have a very, very difficult time, you know, explain all the events. I don't know. It's like, you know,
you haven't been able to digest it yet, so you're... You know what I mean? Like you're
Vicky
still,
was it, perfect at it. She wrote the perfect report
and
beautiful handwriting.
Yeah.
And here's where I'm like being a bit of a priss. Where like she hands it in to the police. I don't want to say police woman. She's a police person. Whatever the fuck. I don't care.
She's a police officer.
Yeah. There you go. But she's a lady. So she hands it into her and she goes, oh, that's great. Thank you very much. And then she gets mine. Okay, here's what you got. And I got notes. And I'm like, okay, then I go back and I have to like correct all this. And then I hand it back. Okay, yeah, if you could also tell us. Oh, okay, I had to go back and do a... I was like, I got two rewrites on this thing. You know, what do you mean? I got... just take it. I tell you the facts there. Just
You should have done it in bullet form.
Yeah.
Just or do it as a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, but what about more from the protagonist's point of view? You're right. Okay, this character could be better developed.
It's kind of a weak ending. Do you think you could?
It's open ended. You fill it in yourself. I don't know. Yeah, and then I had to go get her. Vicky had left a bunch of her stuff there because you know she was dealing with this person, and I had to go and get it because they all collected it and put it in the ambulance to be taken to the hospital with this other person because they thought it was hers.
Yeah.
So I had to like talk the ambulance person out of all this stuff, and that was all weird too. I don't like bothering people, but it was like I had to get all this stuff. That was really hard. It's like the hardest part for me wasn't dealing with all the things that were hard. It was like having to go and talk to the ambulance person and go like, yeah, if you got, I think in the back you got a scarf and you might have a camera bag, and I don't want to be a bother, but if you could just, you know, and that was the most angst-ridden part of it for me. I can take emergency, I just can't take. Ooh, I've got to ask for this. Ugh.
So you can take emergency, but you can't take human interaction.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
That is difficult.
Yeah.
I would have...
you asked me to pull a guy out of a car that's on fire? Fine. Yeah. Hey, return this to the store. Ooh, I don't want to return that book to the store.
I think I would do really badly in those situations.
Really? I don't think you would.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel very awkward in those... Like, I would do okay in, like, first aid classes, you know, where you have the scenario and you have to kind of go in... But that's just, like, in a... classroom. Like I feel like if I was in it in real life, I'd be panicky and too awkwardly shy to do very much. Hard to know.
You don't really, I know, you don't really have like a lot of like the times in my life where I've had to deal with something that's actually been holy shit, that kind of stuff. I find I can turn off that part of me, but then when it comes back huge.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, anxiety, we're putting you in the closet right now, and I lock anxiety in there and put a chair on the door so it can't get out. But then when it gets out, it's been drinking, and it's just going to go, hi, how you doing? How about I come out randomly through the day? And all of a sudden now you got the shakes at like 9 at night. And you're like, oh, why is this all about? Oh, and then here's the thing. So this happens, and I'm like a bit of a mess, but I'm like, I've got to do this writing tonight. So I come back here to the office, and I'm literally, it's like about 11 at night, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm all right. I'm just doing a little meditation. I'm like, I think this is going to be all right. So I'm just going back to writing, and kaboom! Outside, and a car has a huge accident right outside my window.
Oh.
Here. Yeah, just I hear this, the scree, boom! And I'm like, oh. Okay.
It is the worst noise.
It's the worst noise after you've heard that noise earlier in the day, and you're like, I don't think that's a flashback.
Yeah.
I think this is happening. So I go to my window, and now my window's broken and has been jerry-rigged by a billing manager in a way that's really difficult to open. So I have to open it, and like, okay, and I'm looking out, and the police are already there, and I'm like, wow, how did... That was there fast. Okay, at least I don't have to call 911 or anything. And then I realized the car smashed into a police car.
Oh.
So, you know, both, oh, that's a shame, but also, well, that takes care of that.
Yeah.
My problems are...
you don't have to run down and do
anything. I don't have to do nothing. So there was a bit of me that was like, oh, good. And then I thought, oh, that's a bad thing to think. It's not good, but it's okay, back to work with me. Little hair of the dog that bit you at the end of the night. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I've driven obviously longer than you have.
Because I think I've driven maybe 40 minutes in my life.
Okay. So yeah, I've driven a lot longer.
But mine feels a lot longer because they were with girls that I was dating at the time and it didn't go well.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So we probably feel like we've driven the same amount of time.
Well, my wife taught me to drive. So
but you love her and everything's fine there, so that's different.
Than the fact that you're driving with girls that didn't like you and you were driving.
We probably broke up shortly after that, and that maybe possibly because
it was precipitated by your
driving. It was not helped.
Okay,
let's say that. Yeah, it was the equivalent of a trip to IKEA.
Yeah,
yeah, it's one of those.
Really, why is the trip to IKEA?
IKEA is the relationship strain. Like, there's no bigger strain than going to IKEA in a relationship.
Why?
Why?
I've never experienced this.
Have you ever gone to IKEA? With...
Many times with my wife.
Well, then you've got a very strong relationship, and God bless you, sir.
Really? Like, well, tell me why. Why do you say this? Like,
why do I say that?
Yeah, yeah. Like, examples, please.
Examples is...
I believe the listener is saying that as well.
Okay, no, I don't think the listener is thinking that as well. I think the listener is nodding their head and going, yeah, we know what you're talking about.
No, I don't think they are.
Oh, okay, well, let me give you two examples. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, is it not pronounced Ike-A?
Yes.
Have I been wrong all this time?
Yeah, it's pronounced Ike-A. It was founded by Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
That's what I thought.
And it was like, Ike is A1, right? And so that's why it's called Ike. Yeah, that's right. Let me give you two pop culture examples of this.
Oh, pop culture ones. Well, this has got to be accurate.
Here's the reason.
It's not an example from This is 40, is it?
Both did. Oh, you know what? They would have done that. Both have done it because it's so well known that we might as well base a sitcom episode on it.
Oh.
They had one on 30 Rock where Liz Lemon and her boyfriend, later to be husband, went to IKEA, and they were both dreading it because it is the worst thing you can do in a relationship to go to IKEA. Also, there was a Louie episode where a woman who's kind of crazy needs someone to go to IKEA with her, and they have the argument that every couple has at IKEA, even though they're not in a relationship. And then there's
to pronounce things that are being sold at IKEA.
Be one problem, but it is such a stressful environment. It's so stressful. And that's not even counting going home and trying to build the thing together and then yelling at each other over that.
I just don't understand. Why is it stressful? Like, what is stressful about it? Like, here's the thing. I like going... What I like about IKEA...
Is the meatballs.
No, I don't like meatballs. You
don't enjoy meatballs.
Not that much.
That surprises me.
I like them in the spaghetti. But I just don't want, like, meatballs on a plate. That's dumb. I think because I used to have that with my mom would make this wonderful dinner of meatballs, just ground beef.
Yeah.
And then rice.
Okay. Now, it was just ground beef?
Yeah.
Well, that's a mistake. That's not a meatball.
I know. It's gross.
You got to, like, spice that up. Put a little onion in there.
Yeah. All that. Well, it maybe had some onion, but whatever.
First of all, so what I like, you do sound like an ungrateful child.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not too... I have no feeling of gratitude for that meal.
Okay.
There are other meals you made that were good, and I feel grateful for those meals, but I do not feel grateful for my brown...
At the end of that meal, brown ground beef and rice meals. You took back your grace. You reversed your grace.
We did not
grace. Grace rescinded, you said, at the end of
that
meal.
I said, this movie was...
God, we had a deal.
I said, this movie, or this meal gets a disgrace. That's what I said.
Oh, nice one.
So what I like, though, is like, you go upstairs and then you wander through like the little show areas.
Uh-huh.
And you like the show living room and then the show kitchens and then the show bathrooms and the show kids rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing that. That's fun.
Good. That's great. Okay, that's good. You know what? When you're doing...
I don't understand where the stress comes in.
Okay.
Because you disagree over what kind of fork you should have? Or
a little bit. Or what kind of bedding or what kind of anything. There's the selection, the fights. Here's what I want you to do next time you go to IKEA. All right. Don't trust me on this, Dave.
Okay, sure.
Like,
get in a fight with my wife.
No, here's the thing. Like, there's a lot of people that go for walks in the woods. Everyone's gone for a walk in the woods. But sometimes you're told then, hey, look for this. And then all of a sudden you see the woods in a totally different way. And yeah. It's like, what a beautiful hike this is. I've walked through these woods all my life and I never noticed the beauty and the wonder. The reverse is true with IKEA. What I want you to do, walk through IKEA.
Yep.
Now go to like the bedding department.
Okay.
Or any kind of major furnishing.
Sure.
Now, what I want you to do is I want you to just sit down on one of the couches.
Yeah.
Just watch the couples go by.
Okay.
See what happens. See if they're smiling. See if they're having a good time. Or just give them a little listen to what's being said. You know what you're going to hear?
What's that?
A lot of passive aggressive. I don't care anymore. I just don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. But they're saying it not I don't give a fuck, because that would actually start an argument. Just like, I don't care. I don't care. A lot of clipped talk. A lot of, fine. Get the tea candles.
You know there's...
We've been here for 3 hours. The reason they've got the meatballs is so everyone can calm the fuck down. Because no one can take it. They can't take it. It's the reason they got the ball pit. We got to drop those kids off and we're going to murder them. Yeah. You got to just go have some meatballs. Cheap meatballs. And the meatballs are just to stop murders from happening in the place. Just sit down. Have your meatballs. And you got to eat them in a, you know, slowly, because you got to eat them one ball at a time. Paces them out. Everyone calms down, has a soda or a coffee,
interesting,
relax, and now you can go back out into the horrible land that is IKEA.
Because
you know why you're there? Because you can't afford anything else. You're not there because you want to be. This isn't your choice. You just go. By the way, on a side note, I enjoy going to IKEA for the most part.
I enjoy too.
But I acknowledge that the rest of the world despises it.
Here's the thing. Like, there's beds there at IKEA. Makeup sex.
You mean on the beds?
Yeah, why not? Test them.
Okay, well, here's the thing. If you're having sex at IKEA, you're having a very different experience than most people.
Apparently,
on the Florgandarks, then possibly.
Everyone likes to make love on the Florgandarks.
Yeah, why don't you get like a water bed and you fill it with those blue balls?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess you don't have blue balls if you're getting, am I right, everybody? Again, we're the number 3 podcast. You know, I'm sure Team 1040 is going to surpass us.
Yeah. Next year we'll be 5th.
Now we don't have a super long show today because we had a super long completely Beatles, and I've still got to get back.
You have a big deadline.
But something sad happened this week, which was the passing of a comedy hero of mine, which was Harold Ramis. And we were talking a little bit earlier about how you also enjoy Harold Ramis, and I thought, don't we talk a little Harold Ramis for a moment?
Okay.
Now you were saying to me that you felt he was the stealth, am I?
I said comedy secret weapon, is how I described it.
Comedy secret weapon.
Yeah. Because I think he's the kind of person that people, I mean, obviously there's people like us who are in the know, who like Harold Ramis a lot.
We are in the know.
And we know his career. But I think there's lots of people who, if you talked about the films that he made or the films that he worked on, they would be surprised. Surprised to know that he wrote Animal House,
Stripes,
Vacation,
Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, that he was a director of those, that he worked on the script, that he was, there's a really good one that I just saw a little while ago, and I wish I could remember the name of it. It's a Christmas film. It had John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton, and it was kind of a hard-boiled Christmas movie, if you can understand.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And it was good. It was enjoyable. John Cusack was kind of a mob lawyer who, with his partner, played by Billy Bob Thornton, had stolen some money from the mob and were going to leave town. And, you know, they're going to get away with this. But because it's had a kind of hard-boiled element to it, there was lots of backstabbing and shenanigans. And it was quite a good film, though. And, you know, it's lesser known, but very enjoyable film. And, yeah, I always feel like... And then, you know, when I was a teenager... You know, Stripes came out, and I saw Stripes about 8 times in the theater.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, I love that movie. And what I loved about it was his character.
Yeah.
Like, someone on Facebook...
The funny straight man. He was still the straight man, but he was still hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. And, he was really good at reacting. And I think it was Mike Roberts, former friend of the show, who said that...
Again, I don't think you're saying that right, but please continue.
I think that he said, I wish they'd done more films together. When I read that, I just thought, that's right. I mean, I know he's in Ghostbusters, but I feel like it's not like in Stripes where they're playing off each other that much.
Right.
Ghostbusters.
He feels more Harold Ramis-y. It feels like there's enough of them in Stripes
That you've seen, yeah.
Stripes is an amazing movie that if you could just end it
yeah.
when they graduate,
yeah.
gold.
That's it.
Now, here's something I think. Well, first of all, I just want to get this out of the way, because this is one of my stealth Harold Ramis things. It's not stealth. It was a popular movie. But like his scene in Knocked Up is the best scene in Knocked Up.
Oh, I have not seen that film.
Okay. It's him with Seth Rogen. And yeah. Seth Rogen's playing his father.
Okay.
And Seth is talking about, I don't think I'm ready to
Seth
be.
Seth Rogen is playing his father? Or no, he's playing no, Seth
he's
Rogen's
playing
father?
Seth Rogen's okay. father. That yeah, would be yeah. a weird Benjamin Button twist
yeah.
otherwise.
Yeah.
And he's worried about... He's talking about their relationship and how, you know, he does drugs. He smokes drugs because, you know, Harold Ramis told him, look, don't do anything you inject. Anything from the ground is fine. This kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they have that kind of jokey, druggy conversation. And it's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
But then Seth goes, you know, you ever think I ruined your life? And then he gets like, he's funny serious.
Yeah.
He's good funny serious, yeah. which was just like, no, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And it's so sincere and so good.
Yeah.
And then I found out later on that he improvised basically everything he said. And
wow.
was like, God damn it, you're good.
Yeah.
You know, he started off as an improviser with the Second
Course.
City.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was part of the next generation. He was the next generation that really pushed them into the stuff that you saw in SCTV. And he was in the first episodes of SCTV
yeah.
and really
yeah, the first
laid
season.
The groundwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something I always think with Harold Ramis is, you look at Second City, you look at Saturday Night Live, and you look at like who was you know, the most popular guy in that first season is Chevy Chase, and then you look at Bill Murray. It's like what's the difference between Chevy Chase's career and Bill Murray's career? And you could say like, well, Chevy Chase kind of comes across as an asshole later on, but you know what? They were both the charming kind of.
Well, I think Chevy Chase came off as an asshole early on, too. I think that was his character.
Right, but people still liked it.
Even, persona,
you know, and Bill
yeah.
Murray wasn't, you know, was a little bit of this kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I think the difference between their careers was Harold Ramis. And Harold Ramis, you know, through Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters, really nailed that, let Bill Murray be Bill Murray in the best Bill Murray way possible.
Yeah.
So we fell in love with Bill Murray, and then he could do no wrong even in the years where he was doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, doing Groundhog Day and that kind of thing, whereas Chevy Chase didn't have that and did some good stuff,
yeah.
but didn't have that heart to his character and was just relying on purely humor, so that when that dried up, there was nothing else and off you float and bye-bye.
All you had was foul play.
That's right. All you had was foul play. You know, and people go like, well, maybe he'll make a comeback, but he just didn't have the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, on all the stuff that he did, you know, with Harold Ramis, there was just so much to it. It was so meaty and so good.
Yeah.
And like,
although I would argue that even somebody like Meatballs, which I don't know if Harold Ramis was involved in that at
I
all.
I believe he was. Yes.
Oh, was he? Because it was an Ivan Reitman film, but
yeah, I'm gonna
also.
I
did
never,
and
I
stuff
never
like that,
looked
so.
This stuff up, but I'm going to.
Okay, you're gonna talk about it because you know in that case, once again, Bill Murray is given the opportunity to extemporize, to do this kind of ad-libbed speech to the Chris Makepeace character.
Yeah,
and it's wonderfully done, that film. You know, because.
The "it just doesn't matter" speech.
Yeah, and it because he brings the heart to that part of the film, you know, and it's perfectly done. But it feels like it's just off the top of his head, and it feels like that film wasn't fully formed when they started shooting it. But Bill Murray, you know, really, you know, took it in hand, just the same way in Caddyshack he does that improvised part as, you know, Cinderella story. And
yeah.
da, 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 you know, it's just magic. You know, it's
at least
beautiful.
I've got that working for me.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, here's why I'm really laughing right now. Is like I looked up Meatballs.
Yeah.
And of course it brought up delicious meatballs recipes. And
yeah.
then I thought, I should keep these for Dave. He needs good meatballs recipes.
That's true.
He
That's
should
true.
Really send these to his.
Well, I've got to say that my youngest daughter, Phyllis, she really makes some killer meatballs. So.
Oh, good. So it skips a generation.
It does skip a generation. It goes, but I'm just not fond of like the little IKEA ones. I don't
Harold Ramis wrote Meatballs.
Oh, did he?
Yep. Along with Lynn Byrne, Dan Goldberg, and Janice Allen. Yep, writer
okay.
of Meatballs.
He probably came in and did some script doctoring on it.
What Harold Ramis...
It's the same thing with Animal House. Animal
yeah.
House was based on the kind of memoirs that were written by Doug Kenny. I think the guy's name was, he was a National Lampoon writer. And he wrote these stories about his time in college, and they're these humorous stories. And so they took those stories and they're going to make them into a movie. Well, Kenny had no real knowledge of writing films, and so it was a bit of a mix them up. And so they brought in people who kind of, you know, so Landis brought in Ramis to kind of shape the script. That's why Ramis left SCTV, was to work on Animal House. Or maybe once he'd worked on it, he kind of realized, oh, I can do this for a living. I don't need
and
to work really hard on
choice.
This show that I'm not getting paid
and
very
much money
for.
And another example of, by the way, has Belushi ever been better than he was in Animal House? Because he was Belushi plus. Like, that's what you do when you're, I mean, he obviously he didn't, wasn't, you know, it's a difference between director and writer, and sometimes he's a writer and sometimes he's a director. But he seemed to be involved in projects where people could be themselves plus what they needed to be.
Yeah.
You know, he made them all, he was there when coincidentally they all shined their brightest.
Yeah.
Is that a coincidence? When it happens so often, you kind of go, probably not.
And I think he knew how to bring heart to a project. So when you look at a film like Animal House, you do have the goofy, crazy college humor, but you also have the scene with the female student in a relationship with, I think it's, is it Douglas, I mean, Donald Sutherland in that film, who plays the teacher?
He's and the guy who shows his ass, yes.
And it's kind of a creepy relationship, and she kind of realizes it, you know, and there's that scene, and there's a scene where they go to the black club, and they're watching this guy who came and played and that scene has a lot of awkwardness to it, too, but it really kind of, you know, just those kind of scenes like that, they just feel really real. And
here's a good example of...
I want to give that to Remus. That's
all right, let's give that to Remus. Here's an example of how you kind of know... Again, like one time could be like, hey, good for you. Two times, oh, very good. But like he's around.
Yeah.
He's in the room when so much great stuff happens that you kind of go, yeah, I'm betting there's a little something going on there. And the other example is like, so you get Meatballs and you go like, all right, it's not a perfect film, but it's got the right stuff to it. There's been many a Meatball film.
It's great when you're a teenager.
Right. There's many a Meatballs film since, and they're terrible.
Yes.
They're terrible. There's one where there's a porn star in the afterlife who's coming back to Earth, and she's got to teach a guy to have sex, or she goes to hell. Like, okay.
Well, there's one where people are eating them at IKEA. It's terrible.
Yeah. He would probably find the heart in IKEA. But like, you know, Animal House then had the TV show Delta House. Like everything almost has a spinoff or something. Mm. And without Ramis, it just doesn't do it.
The TV show version of Animal House that had the horse in it, that was a good one.
Oh, really?
That was a good episode, yeah.
All right. That show was called Delta House.
Maybe was it called Delta House? Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we can check that out online. We'll see.
But remember watching that episode.
I also used to like really love him though on SCTV.
Oh, he was great.
Though he was always cracking up. That was the thing. Like he was corpsing constantly during these sketches. I don't remember that at all. I know, but he seemed to be having a delightful time. Yeah. And it was just like so loose, and it felt like they don't have the film to record again. Mm-hmm. So let's just go with that. You know? But I just want to say real quick, was I read an interview with him sort of near the
too
end.
Too slow. So what I was going to say was,
aww.
Okay, go on with your interview.
Was just like, he didn't feel like making movies that didn't have a point, as in didn't have, something to say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in his later years with all the movies he went like, life's too short. Sadly, it was. So like every film that he made, he tried to actually make it say something and have a reason for existing and not just be, you know, for laughs or for money.
Well, that's interesting. With the one I was talking about, the John Cusack film, they changed the ending. The ending was quite dark.
Okay.
And had one of those kind of, what can you do? That's life. Mwah,
well, then you say, they changed the ending. Who changed the
ending? I think Remus chose a different ending. So,
Okay. So
he changed an ending that's more, it's a bright, you know, more of a light ending, more of a, you know, kind of yay, worked out kind of an ending. And he just, it's interesting, right? It's just kind of,
Did it feel like a better ending?
Yeah, it did. If knowing both endings, I much preferred the actual movie ending.
I have someone that I really like who sadly passed away recently, who was a co-writer on Caddyshack 2. And again, that was one of those situations where it's like, oh, this is even a really funny person, like incredibly funny person writing this, but without this, it's just not that. Mm-hmm. It's just missing the point. And man, I like Ghostbusters. Anyway.
I have to say I'm not a huge fan of Ghostbusters, as you know.
Okay.
I just feel like it's one of those films where people are having too much fun on the screen and I'm not as enjoying it as much as they are doing it.
To me, it's like one of the perfect blends of action and like the action, like at Ghostbusters 2 doesn't work because it goes too far on the winkety winkety.
I haven't seen that one.
Loosey goosey side.
Okay.
But like to me, I like Ghostbusters because it feels like they are working class guys doing this kind of thing. And then it takes it up a notch to the, you know, where it's actually action movie level. It's quite impressive. But what impresses me the most about Ghostbusters is when you see what the original plot was, holy cow, Ramis fixed that. It's ridiculous.
Right?
Well, yeah, because they were going through other dimensions, and they also were in space, and it's just like Dan Aykroyd's original idea is crackers. And like he took this crazy mess, and together they made this film, whereas even if you don't, you know, totally care for it, boy, works better than what they were going to. Sure. Like the chaos that he made into something that worked was just remarkable.
Interesting.
Yeah. I wish he had acted more. I loved his acting.
Yeah, well. Me too. That's
He's good
sure.
in Orange County as well. Have you seen him in Orange
I've
County?
I've not seen that film.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, I have a film
Now that
festival.
I know that he's in these movies, I should watch them.
There's a thing called Internet Movie Database I think you should check out, and I think you would enjoy. Because you also have Netflix, and I think these two things working together...
Sometimes.
You would enjoy them.
You never know. Last week we went and saw in the theater with other people, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, nice!
Which
one.
Is the first time I had seen it
was with me.
I saw it with you.
I think we might have.
Oh, I don't know.
Did we see it? Did we see it in New Westminster?
No, I did not see it with you.
All right.
Because when I saw it as a sneak preview.
No, you recommended it, and that's why I saw it.
That's right.
Okay.
I saw it as a sneak preview before Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome.
Oh.
So okay. Pee-wee's Big Adventure was this brilliant fun, and then Mad Max was like.
That film does go beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah, it goes beyond the pale, and. So watching with an audience was, of course, fantastic because it's much funnier to see a funny film with lots of people than by yourself sitting in your living room. But the other thing was I was watching it, and of course there's the big end where he's riding on his bike, destroying half the sets in this Hollywood studio. And when we left, I was saying, you know, that's one thing I don't enjoy in films. I have never enjoyed the crazy madcap race or you know, chase or whatever. I do not enjoy those things where people are racing and destroying things.
I thought you were going to say that you don't like it when they're in a studio lot and you see the women always who are dressed like in the fan dresses going by.
Don't mind
the
show.
There's always two showgirls by like, what movie are you shooting now? what are you doing?
I mean, they have a lot of fun with it in Pee-wee, so it's not... And even the...
And then Twisted Sister makes an appearance. Mm-hmm, the only thing that really dates the movie.
Yes, there you go. And I mean, the great thing about Pee-wee's Big Adventure is they do have that crazy madcap race, and then it has the pet shop scene. So it really works, you know, because it doesn't just end up in court or whatever. You know, it has it kind of has a great capper, you know, which that scene really needs. Like my problem with the madcap scene in every movie is that there's a big crazy chase sequence, and then it ends with people standing around talking, and there's never like a joke to finish it.
That's a huge mistake. Yeah,
and I'm just not a fan of mayhem. I don't know. I really don't like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. I don't... Because to me, that film is this endless smashing of
people
things.
People that like it. People that don't like it at all.
Well, that's a good description of most things.
Let me it's a bad, 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 bad film.
So I was just going to say, I think that's my problem with Ghostbusters, is it ends with crazy mayhem scene, and I'm so
in
that.
Do you think it's mayhem?
Well, it's
like to me, it ends
smashing stuff up. This big giant Stay Puffed guy kind of crashing through the city.
Okay, well, I'm going to argue.
People driving around in an ambulance thing quickly.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
That's my memory of it anyway.
Okay, well, let me correct your memory. here's.
Please correct my memory.
I will correct your memory. Here's how the movie ends.
Okay.
Is the movie does have them driving to the thing to the thing, but these guys have been basically selfish through the whole thing. Bill Murray is the selfish Bill Murray character through this whole thing, and it ends with all of them firstly they they're trying to get the Stay Puft thing, but then they realize we can't win. And they realize they can't win. And it's these guys who have been the cocky guys who the whole thing realize, we can't win. The only chance we got is we're going to have to kill ourselves to save the city. And it's a great scene, I think, with Bill Murray, where they're all realizing that. And then Bill Murray realizes he's the leader and goes, I love this plan. This is the best plan. All right, I'm 100% behind it. Let's go. Knowing that they're all going to die. Huh. So it's that scene.
Sounds interesting. I'll have to watch
it again. Army
it's been a while.
Scene. Yeah.
It's been a while.
And it's them. And just coincidentally, you know, luckily they do survive. Hmm. But like they don't stand around talking at the end of it.
Yeah.
They do the thing, you know, and then there's the heartbreaking, oh, the woman you love is dead. Wait, she's not. Here we go. That's a little bit of a happy ending. And then we're out, man. We're out. That's the end. Roll the credits. We're done. We're not doing any other business.
I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
Everybody, spoilers. So it is,
Okay, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
You should know Ghostbusters by now.
by this point, I'm sorry.
And you know what? It's not spoilers. Go see the movie. You're gonna have a good time.
I'll have to give it another watch. I mean, it's been a while since I watched
it. And there's no need to see. Oh, here's the one thing that bugs me about Ghostbusters, and it's the nitpickiest nitpick that could ever pick a nit.
Okay.
Dave, is Ghostbusters one word or two?
It should be one word.
Well, you know what? The poster says it is, right?
Yeah.
And yet, when the title... comes up on the screen, it's two words.
Oh.
Make up your mind, movie. Make up your mind.
Yeah. Well, maybe the graphic artist wasn't informed.
Yeah, well, maybe you should just figure that out. Because you know what? It's good to get your title right.
Is the original Bob Hope movie, is it called Ghostbusters with a Space?
That's interesting.
Or?
Okay.
Yeah,
we'd have
know.
to
Have to go and look, I guess.
We would have to check that out.
With Eddie Rochester. What was his name? The actor who played Rochester?
Well, they put the Rochester in the middle. Yeah, Eddie was, something.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember his last name now. I feel like
Are you saying you would like this movie better, Ghostbusters, if it had Rochester in it?
Yes.
Okay.
The corpse of Rochester would make that film so much better.
Okay, this is a completely nerdy thing. I'm gonna go deep nerd with you.
Okay.
All right, and then we'll get back to whatever we need to. It's really super fast.
Sure, sure.
There was just a comic that came out, and it's a silly little comic that came out of IDW, and I say that having worked for IDW.
Yeah.
And it's called Conspiracy, and the idea behind it is you've got the lone gunman from the X-Files.
Yeah.
One of which is played by a guy who's a friend of mine.
Sure.
Anyway, so I'm a little bit, I like those guys.
Yeah, already you're biased.
Right. And the idea is they're going to be, they go through all these different comics that happen to be properties that IDW is running. So they meet the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
They meet the Transformers. So it's weird that the Lone Gunmen are meeting the Transformers. But they had one where they met the Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm like, let's give this a read. Now, here's the thing. The Lone Gunmen, spoilers, in the series, die.
And in the TV series, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe they don't die. But everyone thinks they're ghosts. And they, in the story, the Ghostbusters know them from their newspaper. And they show up, and they don't think they're ghosts. And they don't have a thing where they're trying to catch them as ghosts. And I go, missed opportunity comic. And it drove me nuts. That's it. Back to you.
Speaking of nitpicking.
That was super nitpicky.
What I was going to say was, I believe that I saw Ghostbusters on home video. And I was just going to say that.
Scott 72 Cinema for me. I know that one
for
sure.
In a way, home video ruined a lot of movies for me.
Okay, explain.
Well,
because you went, I could be watching pornography.
I could be watching, where's the internet? That's what I thought. No, it's...
In the 80s.
In the 80s. No, it's just that usually you'd see them with friends in a room with a lot of people.
Oh,
and you'd be talking.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't get into it.
Uh-huh.
And then often they were pan and scan, which I've never liked. You know, so you always feel like it's... not quite right what you're watching when the camera does that weird shift over because they have to, you know, the person who's talking is not in that part of this picture, so they have to scan the camera over and yuck.
Young people listening, you got it good.
So I feel like, you know, that kind of ruined
your Blu-rays and your widescreens.
So there's a few films that people love that I'm kind of indifferent to. One is Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
One is Dune.
Yeah.
And the other one is Blade Runner. And they're all films that I saw with groups of people on home video.
Yeah. Dune and got ruined for me for that one. And I also saw this movie, Kramer.
Okay.
Because we couldn't see the other Kramer. It was pan and scan. So I was like, why is this guy so upset? He seems to be yelling at someone, and I never knew who he was yelling at.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, we had a terrible mix-up where two tapes got tangled up together, and it was Kramer versus the Volcano. So yeah,
I also watched Clash of a Titan.
Yeah,
what's the problem?
I remember there was an episode of Siskel and Ebert where they showed.
I just got to see Siskel.
Yeah,
what do you mean there was Ebert? I had no idea. Damn my small TV.
And the episode or the scene they used was from that Star Trek film with the whales.
Yeah, Star Trek 4.
And they're in a pickup truck, and they're showing how it looked in pan and scan, and then how it should look in widescreen. And yeah, that really opened my eyes, but. I always kind of suspected that because of when they would show spaghetti westerns on television, they would have it in, it would be like letterboxed.
That's right. Starts off like that.
For the credits.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the movie starts, it just whoop, and then everyone's face is as large as the screen.
That's right.
Like, well, what happened?
Who'd he shoot?
What's
happening over there?
Why am I looking at this guy's pores?
That's right. And
this film was directed by a dermatologist.
I remember when we started to get the letterbox stuff, right?
Mm.
And man, there were some
people. On Laserdisc.
Well, some people like were still complaining about it. Like,
yeah.
I want the full screen filled.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, you're getting the full picture, but it's like not seeing anything on the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
You're seeing more than you would be, but it's I want the whole screen. Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah. Okay.
My brother-in-law said that to me.
Oh.
So I just had to patiently explain to him.
Yeah,
why it was done that
way.
Does
it bug you when you go to the movies and it's not a full square? Does that bother you?
Yeah, it's a hard thing. And I mean, personally, that's why I was so excited by Laserdiscs when they came out, because they actually were letterboxed. So you could at home watch films in the proper
And you said, nothing's going to get better ratio. Than Laserdisc.
Nothing at all.
Done.
There's nothing better than stopping a movie halfway through to flip it over and start it again. Ugh, nothing. That doesn't take you out of the film at all. But, you know, when you say that, like, we watched Evil Dead 2 together, because I dragged you over to see it at our former friend of the show, David M's house.
Once again, we should look that up. I don't think that's the right phrasing.
And You know, that was Laserdisc.
Yeah.
And you thought it was a fantastic film. So really, it didn't ruin the movie for you or anything.
No, not at all.
Even though it was a bit of a pause. Well, that, although I think he had a machine that automatically flipped it within itself. And
somehow, well, he had a device he called the Rochester. And it was a fella who just came in. But you know what?
Yes,
yeah, but he was white, so it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. He had a hoarse throat because he had just been yelling earlier the day. He was declaiming. There's a place here in near Lighthouse Park, Speaker's Corner, and he was doing some speaking there, and it hurt his throat.
Oh, did I tell you what happened at Lighthouse Park earlier this week?
You did. You saw some lighthousing there.
Just a little lighthousing. That's an hour, by the way.
Do you know what's...
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say what's even worse.
Here's the bonus material.
If you go to Rough House Park.
Mm-hmm, what happens there?
There's a lot of roughhousing.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. Just a bunch of kids wrestling.
That's right.
It's fine.
Having fun. They just watch Warriors and they're all kind of excited, so they got to wrestle each other.
That's
around.
What they do.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be interesting because they have those movies in Stanley Park. Like they have like a Raiders of the Lost Ark or something. Yeah, they should have Warriors.
They should show Warriors.
Then you just like fence off some kids and just let them all fight.
Did you do that when you watched it?
No, I haven't seen it actually.
You've never seen Warriors?
I played the video game.
Oh, you should see that film.
Well, okay. Why don't we have a film festival? I'll watch Warriors. You watch Ghostbusters.
Okay.
We'll do a little Blu-ray thing.
Sure.
Okay. Now, I think you will enjoy Ghostbusters more now without your yappy teenage friends.
Teenage friends.
Yeah.
Spoiling the film.
And spilling pick-a-pop all over
and
where.
Like that. And the girl that you're kind of indifferent to, but she's a girl, so you should be making out with her. And
She's making out with someone else.
Yeah.
Just feeling bad.
Never works out.
But you know what? I don't think it works out totally great for Bill Murray and Ghostbusters. So... So there you go.
You can commiserate together.
You can commiserate together. You're gonna have a nice time commiserating together.
You got any plugs? You got any plugs?
My plug is Ghostbusters on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
You might gonna get that. I think you can get that on a disc with Monster House for $12. I think you can get that.
Okay.
No.
Weird cross marketing.
What do I have to plug? Critical Hit Show just happened.
Yeah.
Not much is happening right now. I'd say pick up a copy of the Simpsons comics or if you see a Futurama comics, that's something I do. Listen to the Irrelevant Show. That's also available in podcast form. Why not listen to Completely Beatles if you haven't listened?
It came in number 7 in the WestEnders top local podcasts.
Did not? Only went to 3. How do you know? Why are you making up facts?
Because how do you know?
Dave,
only went to 3.
Dave, we're doing all right. You don't have to make up fakey fakes. Don't make up fakey fakes. We got a nice relationship with these people here.
Sorry.
You know?
Sorry, everybody.
All right.
Sorry to abuse your trust.
No. Okay. You don't have to tell lies just to be popular. We're okay.
Worked for me before.
Did it?
Not really.
Okay. Wait, is that a lie? Now I can't trust you. Normally I'd think of plugs. I can't think of anything. But Sneaky Dragon will be at various places. Where, you ask? We're going to be at Vancouver Fan Expo. We're going to have a little table.
I think it's in May.
Or
is it in April?
We're going to be at Van Calf. That's going to be later on as well.
That's the end of March.
End of this month, which is also March.
Yes.
What? We're going to be in Seattle wandering about at the Emerald City Comic Con.
Yeah.
So you will probably see us there at some point.
Oh, VanCalf is in March. I thought you said Emerald City and you said VanCalf,
no.
Right? Sorry.
No, later on is VanCalf, but we're going to be at Emerald City wandering about. If you want to see me perform there, I'm going to be performing theater sports with Unexpected Productions there at the market. It's always fun to do, so I'm going to be doing those shows.
Right by the horrible, horrible gum wall.
Yeah, and if you do come to the actual con itself, the Critical Hit Show, which I perform with it usually every month here on the last Wednesday of the month, we're going to be doing a show there as well. So why not come down and see that?
Will I be on the guest list for that?
I don't know. I think you have passes to the show, then you get to see that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, if you want to be in, I think we need someone to do tech. Do you want to do tech?
Sure.
All right. You just got to turn a switch on.
That's fine.
If you want to see Dave doing tech, much like he would for this, there you go.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing some other stuff. I'm going to be, as I say, I'm going to be on Caustic Soda soon and all sorts of things. Is there anything that you want to plug, Dave?
No, that's all. Just everyone should listen to Completely Beatles, our sister podcast, which, by the way, was featured on the new and noteworthy site on iTunes. I don't know if that was just for the Canadian one, though.
I think it might have been the Canadian one. Yeah. We should check the one from Australia, though, just to see.
Sure, just to make sure.
Just to make sure. We'll check them all. If you go to iTunes, there's a thing on the bottom where it's a flag, and you can check all the countries.
That's right.
So why not check all the countries?
I like to do that.
Yeah, check all the countries.
Did we get any reviews in Russia? No.
No. Well, in Russia, podcasts you.
Oh.
That's what happens.
A thing. Yeah.
So okay. I couldn't. You know what? Yakov Smirnoff makes it look easy.
He does. It's just amazing how he can just let those rules off his tongue.
Why do we always end this sloppy? Why do we? This. I mean, I thank heavens
for little girls.
No, I don't.
Oh,
why
sorry.
Are you saying that? That's a terrible thing to say. I thank heaven that the people who voted us third best tied podcast do not listen to the
West
whole
End.
Show.
Yeah. That's true. I don't think they do.
No, there's no way they listened all this way through, because that would not work out. But I once again, congratulations to our betters, Caustic Soda.
Yes.
Stop podcasting yourself.
Yes.
I would advise you.
We bow before you.
I would advise you to listen to both those podcasts after this.
Mm-hmm. No,
but,
before this.
But please, well, they can't.
Listen
they
to
just
them
listen.
Before this.
They just listen to this show. Listen. They can't. Dave, physics.
Take my advice.
Physics.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And listen to them before you listen to this show.
Oh, I don't even know what he's talking about. You got to wrap up the show. It's your turn. Like you wrapped it up last week. Johnny Mathis.
What, everybody?
Chances are you're going to get it wrong.
Going to get it wrong again. Well, everybody, you know, could have been a great running, like in track and field, but he chose singing instead. Anyway, what's wrong?
Okay.
I brought it around to the beginning of the show. We talked about the Olympics a little bit. I'm just bringing it full circle, baby.
Yeah. No, he could have been. He could have been running in track.
But you know,
and then all of a sudden, like in the 70s, they started to get four tracks, and he was too winded.
That's right. He had a light housing problem. Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening to episode 116 of Sneaky Dragon. We'll be back next week.
117.
What? Sorry.
It's 117.
I can't hear what you're saying. I wish I could because I'm too busy wrapping up the show. Thank you for listening, dear listener. And we will be back next week with another fantastical, hilarious show. So thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to vote for us.
There's nothing to vote for.
In the West End.
There's nothing to vote for. Stop it. Terrible host.
Bye, everyone.
I'm taking back my vote.
Was nominated for an Oscar.
Mickey Mouse.
This week he was nominated for an Oscar.
No, he is nominated for an Oscar, and the Oscars are this week.
The Oscars are this week?